All right, we are doing a new intro where we describe a player however we would like to. And I have the honors to start. Are we ready?
God, I was born ready.
Okay. All right, I am dreaming of a man
who
throws the disc with maybe more passion than most.
Nicolò Castro.
No, but good guess. His throwing style is pretty unique. He leans into it.
James Conrad.
You stole the words out of my mouth.
James Conrad. He's such a character that was too easy. I should have picked a harder one.
Well, I think this
we like to start easy.
I think this is a more positive direction to move in rather than describing a place. I like this a little bit more.
Potentially. All right, welcome back, world travelers. That's not good English. And crushed peppers. How's it going, boys?
It's a going. It's a going tremendously. How about you?
I'm hanging in there. Full family mode activated. Just got back from Orlando, Florida. And back to the grind of designing courses. And kind of finding excuses not to start working out.
Oh.
Well, Joey, you're freshly back from the Africas.
About 26 hours at home now. So
how was it?
It was unbelievable. It always is. I was just saying before we started that I had, I would say the last like 5 years, I've had some pretty annoying appetite, lack of interest in eating, a little bit of nausea on a lot of my international trips. And most of those trips have been to Africa. And I kind of connected the dots with some of the malaria medicine I was taking. And so this was much better than... they are always amazing, and I always kind of managed to power through. But it's like never fun, like having to force feed yourself when you know you just like have to get food down and you don't want to eat. So... solving that like on day two of a 14-day trip was, that's about as good as it can get. So I had a great, I mean, it's, I will say it as many times as I'm allowed to, that working for the Paul Macbeth Foundation is the most meaningful work that I do in my life. And it is extremely impactful, not only on me, but on the communities that we're working with. And this was a bit of a unique trip. It was a two-part trip. The first week was the unique part. The second week was very standard Paul Macbeth Foundation course installation. I was with Avery Jenkins, Zoe Ann Dyke, and Dustin Keegan for the first week. I think both of you know James Koizumi. He's been to some steak nights. He was the one who gifted Schlebach the cowboy hat at Worlds.
Oh, yeah.
He was down there with us. And oh, it was a whole team. Jen Kazanov Diggs, who is the amazing partner of Max Kazanov Diggs, one of the DGPT operations staff. And I know them mainly, honestly, first through their dog. I know Benny. Benny is like a very sweet dog, but he's really skittish, and I'm a dog lover. And when I see a skittish dog on tour, it's like a challenge to try to befriend that dog. So I've worked on befriending Benny for years. But Jen works for UDisc. I don't know if you guys knew that. I didn't know that. She works for UDisc.
I don't know anything.
That's okay. So we had a team of...
You are our link to everyone.
No. No. You guys know all the OGs better than me. You guys know all of the pre-2019...
Well, sure, because you weren't even around yet.
Yeah, I was just a fan.
You were just a boy.
So the first week was the first Africa Disc Golf Summit, which I suppose we recorded a bit. We talked about it, I imagine, when I just arrived on our last episode. Yeah. So it went amazing. The networking was unbelievable. Everybody who flew in from parts of Africa were super stoked. We put out so much content on the Macbeth Foundation and Uplay Instagram that I'm really happy about, that we were able to basically deliver in real time. I played a tournament, and I shot my best round ever at Ndeje University in the first round. I played there like 3 or 4 times now, shot 9 down. It was almost 1,000 rated. I think it was 999. And then second round, shot 7 down, 940. same layout. Everybody shot better. I did not. But Dustin Keegan, he shot 14 under with a bogey.
I was actually keeping track of that tournament because I was playing a tournament that day, and for some reason I was scrolling through all the tournaments, and since Joey's one of my favorited players on EDGA app, I saw that you were playing, so I kept track.
Yeah, a bit disappointing with the second round, but still, it was
fun. Did Dustin win?
Oh, yeah, he shredded. He shot 14 down with a bogey, and he had the lead, so...
Wow, he is still good.
I mean, he just was consistent. I mean, we all, at least, I think Avery has a set of like 4 discs that I at least have seen on multiple projects now, a couple of mids and like a putter and one fairway. And myself, I just went, shout out MVP. They donated a bunch of the putters off of from the warm-up area, right when you come into HQ, from those little racks, right as I was leaving. That's exactly what we want. We want used putters, like stuff that is, you know, not worthless, but really not that valuable to like maybe American stores or companies, these used putters, but this is exactly the perfect starter for these kids or adults down in Africa. So I think I had 150 random MVP putters and mids. They all want glow stuff. That was kind of weird, but they all love playing glow golf. The sun set actually like surprisingly early when we were down there, so I guess it makes sense. They're right on the equator, so they don't really get any of those long, long days. It's just like always kind of 7 p.m., 6:30, 7. That's when the sun sets. Mm. And so... I brought a bunch of MVP reactors down, and as many glow discs from my personal collection as I could part with.
Did they get some Marie Curie's?
No, they didn't. They got all the lame. They got all the Elaine King stock stamp, and they got. I donated probably 20 peppers, I think I got to throw. I got a bunch of glow stickers from them, and yeah, the conference was amazing. The energy, the inspiration. There was a guy, Johannes from Ethiopia. He's been playing disc golf since 2013 in Africa, and basically like kind of on a little island by himself. And he TD'd the first ever sanctioned event in Africa in 2018, the Ethiopian Open. And, I mean, still, that's like 7 years ago, almost 8 now. And he was like, so you could just see the emotion on his face to like see this many people, like this many Africans coming together, who all love disc golf and they were like speaking his language. He just like couldn't even believe his eyes. So very special stuff. And then, yeah, we went to a new country, number 33, Rwanda, right next door, like a 45-minute flight, and just got to hang out with Zach and Avery and the rest of our little squad all week, mostly Avery, just tromping through the jungle, designing and hacking a 9-hole course out of the Rwandan rainforest.
Was that Avery's first time to Africa?
Oh, I think yes. I think yes. I know it was his first courses played in Africa. So I don't know if he had like ever gone down to Morocco or something, but I think it was his first time to Africa. But
that must have been exciting.
Have you ever seen that? Have you guys ever seen that internet little meme where it's like the two guys who like, they kind of like shake hands for the first time, but like right when they shake hands, like the kind of like the screen flashes forward to like all the adventures that they would go on and like don't realize it as they're like first meeting each other. And that's like, that's how I feel with Avery, because every time I see this guy, it's like we're in a different part of the world. Like I've been to Montenegro, Bulgaria, Serbia, Finland, Norway, now Uganda and Rwanda. Like that's, I only see this guy in exotic places. I've, for the first time ever, saw him in Minnesota last summer. And that's like the most,
it's been weird.
It was super weird. So I love hanging out with him. And, yeah, we got so much good content from all of it. If anybody is interested in kind of seeing what it looked like, there's the Palm Beth Foundation Instagram is loaded up with videos from that course at an eco park.
Can I ask you an important question? Did you happen to have any curry goat rice and peas when you were there?
Am I supposed to say it?
It's a yes or no.
No, no, don't say it.
Don't say it. It's a serious question because you told me last time you were in Africa.
Honestly, I probably did. I probably did have curry goat rice and peas when I was in.
I don't know if you want to talk about this on the podcast, but you told me the story that you killed.
Oh my God. Is that even like, does that get us taken down?
Well, that's just how it is over there. That's what
I did. I did.
They asked you to do it.
Yes, I did. I did kill a goat. Well, they asked our group if somebody wanted to do it, and I like raised my hand as fast as I could because I eat a lot of meat all the time, and I feel like I'm so disconnected from what 90% of the meat eating people have ever had to deal with as a part of eating the meat, which is killing the animal. And I just go to the grocery store and I don't ever have to like face that. And so that's why I was like so eager to do it once, just so that I kind of had that experience and it was in my head. And honestly, like, it's good that I have somebody else reminded me about that not too long ago. And like while I was on the trip this past 2 weeks. And it's good to keep that in the front of my mind that I had done that and like tried. And when I'm shopping, like try to like remember that. But yeah, it was intense. It was very intense. I'm glad I did it. Yeah, those guys, you know, that's how it's part of living, is doing that if you're a meat eater in a lot of the world. So, but yeah, totally crazy experience. Have you ever killed an animal like that, Eagle?
No, I'm still too close to being vegan to have done that.
Simon?
I also have never done it. I feel like it is, I don't know how to phrase this properly. I feel like it is an important experience to like really understand food in that way, mm-hmm. I guess.
I think you have
to. I don't know if I could, and I feel like it makes me a bit of a what's the right word? Ignorant, maybe a bit. And just not I don't know. I've gone down the veganism rabbit hole many times, and I've been convinced that veganism is the only moral way to live multiple times, and then I'm convinced that, everyone eats it. It's been part of human history forever, and all the other arguments, and I don't freaking know. Every time I listen to a vegan talk about why it's important to be vegan, I'm like, it's true. And sometimes I feel bad about myself that I don't do it.
But then you watch The Lion King, and then it makes sense. The circle of life? Yeah.
I mean, I think that it's been scientifically proven that with unlimited resources and access to supplements, you could get all of the vitamins and protein requirements out of a plant-based diet without any meat. And there's a way to do it without meat that would not decrease the benefits. But I think it's just like way more complex. You have to know so much more. Like,
do you call Brian Johnson at all?
Oh, here we go.
Brian Johnson.
Here we go.
Is that the guy that doesn't want to die?
Yes, yes.
Well, yeah. He's a little bit misunderstood. That's a very face... He said he's not afraid of death, but his motto is don't die.
Don't die.
And he adheres to a vegan diet, but he doesn't even call it that. He more or less is a nutrivore, so he seeks out the most nutrient-dense foods, or at least within plant-based parameters. And he is a billionaire, and he can do blood work, and he is extremely scientifically measured. So that makes it all possible for him to do.
Right.
And if you have the time, and if you are very convicted about being vegan, then you could do the same thing and be very successful. I mean, I speak from being vegetarian, vegan almost all my life, and I've heard all the vegan arguments, and I think many of them are very valid, but currently where I'm at in life, I believe that sourcing some high-quality, regeneratively raised meat is probably the best thing you can do from very high-quality farms, because they actually make the environment better. They sequester carbon in the soil, and they cultivate healthy ecosystems for humans, plants, and all the livestock on the property. And I believe that that's the way.
Well, would that be sustainable if everyone wanted to do that?
Yes. Yes. If everybody did local farming, it was 100,000% be sustainable.
If you look at Europe, this is a big problem. If, like, for example, when we're in Peoria, Illinois, it's all farmland, but it's all soybeans and corn. And the soybeans are for like hyper processed foods, and the corn's for ethanol.
There's or animal feed.
Or animal feed.
That's like, so I think 70% of large scale corn operation is for animal feed. I don't even think it's for humans.
It's soybeans and corn.
Don't quote me on that percentage, but I think it's something very much over 50%.
And a big part of it's ethanol as well. So it's not even food that we're necessarily growing. And in Europe, it's a lot different. Like, I think a lot of farms are like under 30 acres, and the average farm in the U.S. is like well exceeds that, and it's not even for human consumption directly. So there's a little bit of a problem in the U.S. to say the least. But where were we? We were in Africa, right?
Curry goat rice and peas.
On the vegan topic.
We were with curry goat rice and peas.
Well, I had another quick... Well, I think the Paul Macbeth Foundation obviously is incredible. I hope... I know I've done like donations for them and promotion for them. I hope I can do more in the future. But I've also played with the idea to also start a foundation. I've been thinking about that for a couple of years now. And I have two ideas, and I want to hear your thoughts. Can we move on already, or is there more, Joey?
Let's keep moving.
Yeah, I was the only thing I was going to do is see if you each had questions about Africa, but that was it. So if you want to go,
I asked you a question.
Yeah, you did.
All right, so
continue on.
Yeah, my first idea, I had this actually when I talked to Matt Syme when we were filming for Beyond Disc Golf. This is already 3-ish years ago. Because he built this little disc golf course at a summer camp. And I was like, damn, this is so cool. Every summer camp should have a disc golf course. Because so many kids would find disc golf through summer camps. And I assume, I don't really know that much about summer camps in the U.S., but I assume a lot of them would have room for like 6 holes. Little fun little pitch and putt holes through a little woods track or around a field or whatever it could be. So I wanted to make a little camp foundation to, and with the goal being putting a disc golf course in every summer camp in the U.S. or then maybe potentially worldwide at some point. That was idea number one. And then idea number two came recently because I was thinking about what I'm doing on tour where I'm like booking pretty nice Airbnbs and hosting some younger players on tour, and that I really like doing that, and that I'm maybe thinking if future generations, younger players, are hesitant to start touring, especially like their parents are hesitant about getting their 16 or 17-year-old on the road, if I could do a foundation for up-and-coming tour players in like booking safe, comfortable places to stay and helping out that way to encourage younger players to start thinking about disc golf as a career and growing it that way. What do you think?
Those both sound like very amazing ideas, and I'd love to help you with both of those.
It sounds beautiful.
Okay, maybe one day when I have time, I will think about starting a foundation. I'm sure MVP will be supportive and help there too.
It should be called the Simon Line Nation Foundation.
It's going to be...
Okay.
There you go.
No, it's going to be called the Simon Shine. Here is so-and-so. He was a 2023 Simon Shiner recipient.
Or Simon Diner.
Simon Diner. Simon. Wow. That's going to be, that's a new segment right there.
That is a great
Simon Dines.
Oh, I have a perfect Simon Dine to start right now.
All right.
I was in Disney World last week. We did a spontaneous trip down to Florida. I came back from Canada where we had horrible weather. We had terrible weather all week in Massachusetts. Just windy and cold, wet, miserable. And I was like scrolling through different weather apps, looking at Florida. And it was like Orlando just looked like 80 degrees, just sunshine every day, perfect. I was like, I told my wife, hey, do you want to go to Florida spontaneously tomorrow? And shockingly, she said, yes. I just wanted a little beach vacation to like get like a hotel near the water and just kind of do nothing, hang out maybe with a pool and the beach nearby. It's kind of easy to keep the kids entertained. And that somehow turned into we're going to Disney World for 5 days, which, you know, I am a big Disney fan. I've always been. I have been to Disney World about 8 years ago. I just went for like one day, and I think we like hopped to multiple parks. I don't really remember too much about it, actually. We kind of didn't do that much. And I have a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. So I knew this was going to be a lot. I thought we had a good week picked out, like middle of November, kind of between holidays. I thought it was going
to... There's no way you there's such a thing as a good week at Disney World in the winter. I feel like the moment September first hits, it's a good week in Disney World.
Yeah, it was unbelievably packed. Like, I could not believe how many people don't have to work at the same time. It's pretty monumental to say. And okay, first thing I want to say about my Simon Dines that we just came up with, I want to talk about the food real quick at Disney World, because I, the whole time I was there, I could not decide if I should be impressed that they're able to feed tens of thousands of people every day, or if I should be shocked on how horrible the food was. I was at mixed emotions the whole time. Like, I was like, sometimes like, wow, this is amazing that they can freaking do this and pull this off every day on that scale. And the other half of the time I was like, this is horrible. I don't want to ever eat here again. So that's my Simon Dines. But other than that,
what did you dine on?
I mean, every day was a bit different. Our hotel, we stayed at Wilderness Lodge. That's one of the Disney resorts. We did the Snow White character dinner, night one. That was actually on my birthday. So that was a fun experience where some of the dwarves come out in costume and sit with you at the table and like take a picture and mess with your kids. And Snow White does like an appearance where she like dances around the table with the music, and then the evil queen comes out who like just stares at everyone angrily. It's obviously just a fun Disney fan kids experience, and it was kind of cool. The food, I mean, clearly just mass produced, kind of barely acceptable, I would call it. And that's kind of the whole, what I thought about the whole thing, at least food-wise.
Barely acceptable. It's a good point.
Maybe my standards are too high.
Eagle, have you been to Disney parks?
I have not. I've never been to like a giant theme park in my life. And I don't think I plan on going.
I mean, you should just do it once to see how obnoxious it is.
It's actually, like, the theme parks and, like, the different areas in the resorts, like Toy Story Land, Star Wars, and Magic Kingdom with the big castle and all the fun stuff around
it. Is Harry Potter Land there? Or that's different?
I think Harry Potter is in Universal Studios, which is kind of in a different area, but same. I think it's also in Orlando.
No, it is. It's just a different it's like a 5-minute drive down the interstate. There's a place right outside of Universal Studios. There's like a little, like, you don't have to go into the park, but it's like right outside of it, and it's got like a river or a lake going through the middle, and it has like a bunch of restaurants, and it's like kind of this outdoor mall. And Kyle Klein and I went there. I told him I'd never been to Universal. So he said, let's go. And that was about a year ago during the Q Series Championships. So shout out to the bromance that I have with Kyle Klein.
Going to Disney with your boy.
Dude, Kyle is my boy. We've been friends for so long. I've caddied for Kyle more than any other person on tour. Like, 4 USDGCs and a European Open and a couple, I have probably like 5 other random rounds in there. And we're both big football guys. We have he's in our league, but he's also just a big Lions fan, and I'm a big Vikings fan, so.
Was he doing the worst in the fantasy for a while?
At the beginning, yeah. Dude, how the tables have turned. I started out at the top after 2 weeks, and I'm like still trying to get back to .500 record right now. I am better than I've been in the last few weeks, but I think Kyle's doing great, actually. I'd have to look, but yeah, that was my only experience at Disney World. So what, Simon, how many of these different, like, how does this turn into a 5-day thing? Like, you just, you already have that all decided before you showed up and bought, like, the package and the tickets and all? You were like, we're going for 5 days, or?
Well, yeah, the second we decided to go, Natalia just completely took over, and I mean, she was on her computer booking stuff and looking up stuff and looking at reviews and watching recommendation videos. Like, that took up her, like, two or three, like, straight days of her life. And the next day we left. So we had the idea on Thursday, and we left Monday morning. So it was a quick turnaround, and everything was booked by Friday, I think.
How was, did your kids, like, obviously Emmett knows what's going on, and I think Mia basically does. Was she, like, scared by a lot of it, or was she happy? Was Emmett, like, did they really enjoy it? Do you feel like they got it?
I would say not quite. I feel like when a kid hits four, they really start being like online. If you know what I mean? Like, their brains are like actually like plugged into what's going on a bit more. Emmett definitely had a blast. He enjoyed the rides. Emmett is surprisingly like a thrill seeker when it comes to rides. So like the fastest rides he was allowed to do with his height were by far his favorite. The Slinky ride in the Toy Story Land was the fastest roller coaster he was allowed on. And unfortunately, all the cool rides obviously also have the unbearable lines. Like, you do not get on a fun ride without just standing for 45 minutes at any place. So, yeah, standing in line with a three-year-old is not recommended.
I hate,
especially 80 degrees heat.
I hate to say this, but I don't hate to say this. If/when I have children in my life, I don't think I'm going to tell them about Disney World. I just don't think I'm going to mention it. And if their friends tell them, I'm just going to say it doesn't exist.
You're just going to go to Mall of America.
Yeah, that's fine. I was there
first time this year.
I will sacrifice a Mall of America trip. That can totally be done within a day for less than $1,000, less than $100.
I might take my family to Minnesota next year just to go to the Mall of America and have them be part of the doubles event.
Joey's kids are going to be getting bit by mosquitoes up in the boundary waters of Minnesota.
Oh, dude, my kids aren't going to have access to a phone until they're like 15.
Unless you're on a plane.
No.
Then use all the help you can get by screens.
I'm just gonna, I don't know.
Your kids are gonna say, "Daddy, Daddy, I'm bored," and you're gonna throw a piece of wood and a whittling knife back at them and say, "Carve me up something, baby."
Oh my God. Wow.
Okay, we've transitioned to Minnesota talk.
Oh, we have.
Very good. I like
great segment.
Unintentional segue. Probably the biggest news that there has ever been. There is a doubles event on the Disc Golf Pro Tour. Holy cannoli. How is that even possible? Tell me.
Yeah, crazy process. I was mind blown on the amount of phone calls, messages, emails, meetings it took to get this approved. I first got the call from Kale about the idea warming up for USDGC. So that's when the planning started. So the whole process was about month and a half to get it wrapped up. And shout out to Kale, who like really believed in this and really wanted it and like fought for it, because there were some boundaries, some hurdles to jump over. But we got everyone on board, and the Players Council was a big fan. I think all players, generally speaking, were big fans of the idea of a doubles event. It was kind of tricky with the Pro Tour to figure out the right format and then the way teams would be formed, and then will points be on the line, and how is what going to count, and what kind of doubles we're going to play, and how the course should look. Like, all those questions that I... Like, if I want to run a doubles event, I just say, let's do it. and then we somehow just figure it out. That I thought that's how it's going to work, but no, everything had to be absolutely on point and planned out before they even dared to make the announcement.
Does
this make sense if you're a business like that?
Do you care to give us any insight into some of the discussions and how those decisions were made? Whatever you're comfortable sharing.
Yeah, I feel like everything can or should be shared. Like
that's what I think we want to hear.
Everyone has a bit of a different opinion on what format should be played. Speaking of best shot, worst shot, alternate shot, modified, blah, blah, blah. Everyone has a different opinion about who can play with who, if there should be a ratings cap, or if there should be some kind of other restriction on who is allowed to play together, who isn't allowed to play together. Is it unfair if, like, the world number one plays together with the world number two, no one else is going to sign up because no one has a chance to win? All those questions were being asked. Should Pro Tour points be on the line was another big one where everyone had a different opinion. Here's what I wanted. And let me start by saying I am very happy with how we ended up agreeing on everything. If it was only up to me and I was the decision maker, I would have liked to see three rounds of best shot and zero restrictions on choosing your partner. And we ended with two rounds of best shot, final round alternate shot, and no restrictions on choosing your partner, which the no restrictions part was a battle. I had to convince, I made many phone calls to players, council players. I had a full-on sit-down meeting with the Pro Tour guys. And it was tough to convince people that there shouldn't be any partner restrictions. And my big argument basically was that this should be a disc golf spectacle. And this should be something for the fans. And also kind of for the players. And I think if we have the opportunity to create some super teams, that's what the fans want to watch. Like if I'm just going to throw Paul and Ricky out there, or Paul and AB, or Gannon and literally anyone, or the Robinson brothers, or Calvin and literally anyone. Like, if they're not allowed to team up with each other, that just doesn't sound as exciting for me, first of all. And second of all, I feel like it kind of makes the event a little less legitimate. Like, if we're making a freaking doubles tournament, why should some people have restrictions and some shouldn't on their partner choice? I feel like that would kind of ruin the event a bit and make it not as legit as I wanted it. So I'm really happy that there's no restrictions. And I also think, on top of all that, is that doubles kind of washes the advantage of the players a little bit. Like, the reason the top 8 guys are consistently so good is because of their consistency and confidence. And when you're playing doubles, especially best shot, consistency matters less. And your confidence changes completely because you're playing with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
So the big two advantages like Gannon and Ricky and Calvin have, which is confidence and consistency, both those things matter less. Of course, if two of the top players team up together, they still have a good chance to win. But that's any tournament. Any tournament, even singles, they have the best chance to win. And I think if they team up, they actually have a less of a good chance to win. And I think a lot of underdog teams will have a really good chance to get a huge win, or at least play for the win.
In theory, anybody above 1,000 who teams up together should have a chance.
Yeah, I was scrolling through the list a bit to like find like quote unquote random teams, players who were like just outside the Pro Tour Finals cut, and like right there in like 40th place, I saw Jake Hebenheimer and Kevin Jones.
Oh,
like, yeah,
boy.
Both not super consistent players, But if you team them up and they get in some kind of flow, like they could vibe off of each other and they could shred anything.
Oh my gosh. the teams that could get hot, it would be really fun. Now, here's what I'll say. One of the cool potentials here is that you could really design a doubles course, which has really never been done before. And I know that's obviously part of the plan. And I'm just like kind of saying it more for our audience, like that, you know, all this, all of these kind of presumptions that we all have about like what it's going to look like, that's all based off of like a singles course. Right. So just like remember that, you know, there's going to be hopefully really cool modifications made to really make a lot of the holes out here like very difficult for doubles to be played, like higher difficulty in order to force, like, I mean, maybe even in best shot, like decision making.
Yeah, I'm excited to work with Kale and see how much he agrees to some crazy ideas on how hard we can possibly make this. Because I think for our best shot doubles, like, we can make this course stupid hard.
That's like, the whole point.
Literally, like, it's always possible to mess up. And if your partner messes up, then you have to, like, rethink everything.
This could send ripple effects. What if disc golf, the primary format, becomes doubles because of this decision? Because it's that much more exciting.
Well, so here's the thing. Ooh. I think you do have to like walk the line though, because I don't think you want to go like full Northwoods black. Like, I think doubles is meant to be like fun, and we don't want everybody to be like miserable out there. And secondly, one of the best parts of doubles is creating throw-in chances. So I think like the amount of like 100 to 190 footers that you could like potentially force on the course, where like a drive would like maybe get you there, or like a par five that like you could possibly get a three if you threw it in from like 120 over like
the
last
little
bit of water.
Well, the Preserve's going to be a really good course for this.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's brainstorm hole one. Say you have, I don't know, 300 feet of inbounds area to the start, and then there's this big out of bounds area for that ranges maybe, I don't know, 150 to 200 feet, and then 500 feet later is inbounds.
Well, so, what if you just like, yeah, what if you just move that tee pad like down towards the parking lot and make it like a par three with that exact thing where you have to like, not down towards the parking lot, but like down that side of the lake, so that like it's basically just move it up until it's like a 570 foot par three that like you could either lay up to the right, or like you could actually have somebody get there. Cause like right now you can't quite get there unless you threw like a almost distance world record shot. But if you moved that tee pad up into the left a bit and cleaned up some of that long grass so you could see the basket, like you could make it a par three that like the go for it is like 550.
Yeah, Kale and I, when we redesigned some of the holes in March this year, we definitely played with the idea to turn it into a shorter hole and like a go for it or layup shot. So it is an option. But yeah, I was listening to the Foundation Guys podcast last night, and they generally liked the idea of the doubles event. They did not like that Pro Tour points were on the line, and they did not like that the winning team that counts as an Elite Series win. What do you think?
I love it.
Okay.
It spices it up. I think it makes it feel that much more important. I mean, yeah, already it's
that's the whole point. It's like supposed to feel important.
It's a fun event. It's going to be like everyone's going to be a little bit more light, and it's the event before Worlds. So it's going to be, I'm not going to call it an off week feel, but it's going to be close. But still, like the people who are competitive, they're going to be trying as hard as they can. Like that's going to be a cool win to get. to have on your resume.
Absolutely.
No, there's going to be like, there's going to be serious money on the line. Like if you win, you're going to cash in a nice paycheck.
Well, and ultimately it's
like
for the
come true in disc golf. It's the cool. I'm going to say it. This is the coolest thing that the Pro Tour has done maybe ever.
I'm really stoked.
I mean, so are you saying
that... I wasn't
going
to go to Preserve.
Are you saying that...
no way I miss it.
So I have two questions. One, are we, like, Simon, are you saying that this comes from Kale? Like, this is his idea?
Yes.
Wow. So shout out to Kale. Great idea and good for you for being on board. Second question, can we confirm... Team Crush Boy already, or is there like are you guys like not prepared to make that statement?
Well, actually, the Pro Tour has asked the players to not make their teams public yet. So even if we were official, we shouldn't actually say.
We're not going to say anything right now.
No, we're going to actually have. Yeah, we're going to have a planned out team announcement day early next year where everyone, all the players are going to get like a chance to properly announce their teams to like build some excitement and some hype for the events. Because literally all the players I've talked to are really excited about this.
Mm-hmm. They should be. No, and I mean like at the end of the day, ultimately the Pro Tour gets to decide where to designate an Elite Series onto a weekend. And I think that they know that without the money and the Elite Series next to it, this is going to get, you know, not taken seriously, as some of their other side things have not been taken as seriously. And I think they saw pretty solid finals for the match play because of what they put on the line. And I think it did end up working out well for them at the end of the year. I think a lot of people tuned in, and I think they look to replicate that with this event. And I think it's good that they put that Elite Series on it. I mean, I don't think that you cannot play subpar and win this event. Neither player. Like, it's just not going to happen. Like, you have to play, you do have to play winning golf. I mean, there might be like two players in the world, Gannon Burr and Ricky, who could like average at or below their rating and maybe win this event if their partner balls out.
If Paul and Ricky play together, I don't want to play.
It's going to be Paul. I think it's going to be like, okay, let's take some guesses just as for fun. I think it's going to be Niklas and Gannon. I think it's going to be Paul.
Oh.
I think it's going to be Paul and AB.
Yeah.
Oh.
I think it's going to be
Paul
AB.
I think it's going to be. I think
I
it's no.
Amos
I think it's going to be. I know. I think it's going to be Paul and AB. It's Luna Battle Boys. I think it's going to be. Yeah. I think it's going to be Ezra and Aaron. Gossage.
Probably.
I think it's going to be the Robinson brothers.
They have to.
Oh yeah, it's got to be. If they don't play together, this event is not happening.
It's going to be Joey Tamale and Eli Swanson.
I mean, that would be amazing. I really hope that happens.
That would be so cool.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. I would love.
It's going to be Ratana Meekum and Maria
Livamagi. unless Silva wants Maria's sidearm just because she doesn't have to throw any. Gosh. That'd literally be it. Just like Maria already caddies all the time for her, so just be throwing little approaches or any forehands that need to happen.
What are some FBO teams like?
Ella and Holland,
Evelina and Henna,
of course. And then Ella and Holland, Paige and Missy.
Okay. Oh, Paige and Missy.
Yeah, Paige and Missy's going to be a really good team.
Who could Silva team up with?
Madison.
She needs someone who can throw far.
Throw far.
Maybe like
Silva and Jenny Karppinen.
Here's a question, Simon. how much is the our manufacturers going to like try to wiggle their way into team making, or like is there like whether or not it's just like a question of like is there a safeguard in place, more of just like are what do you speculate, like do you think that's going to influence team making at any point? It has to in some spots, right?
I only see one company caring about that, and I'm not gonna say which company that is. Unless you want to guess.
A lot of the brands kind of will just congregate together anyway. Like,
I mean, that we named a bunch of the Discraft guys.
Most Discraft boys just want to, they want to be each other's partners anyway. I would say,
yeah. Like, yeah, but there's only so many of them. Like the main six guys, it's three teams, and then the rest of them already have to improvise.
It's going to be very fascinating, and I can't wait.
Like, what about like a Cole Radal and Sullivan Tipton team?
Oh, like,
that is going to be hard to beat.
I have such a hard time seeing Gannon and Niklas getting touched.
You know what you should do before the event starts? There should be like a big random draw event. That'd be so sick.
Like Wednesday,
a bunch of players.
Wednesday night, like, glow doubles random draw.
A Pro Tour random draw doubles? Like, come on.
As like a Thursday warm-up?
As a warm-up.
I'm down. That sounds really fun.
Wow. Actually, I
like
that.
Doubles is literally, random draw doubles is like some of the best memories of my disc golf career.
And that would be a good warm-up.
Playing.
But it's not good for team strategy.
Have I ever told my Glenn Whitlock story?
You got the other days to practice.
Yeah, I know. But it's like that's your final run with your partner.
How do you even practice for doubles? No one's ever practiced
well,
for doubles.
Well, no, but if you have to, because you're playing modified alternate shot, that's how you practice. You have to decide who's going to take what. And I know you can do that Friday, Saturday as well.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not looking forward to playing alternate shot. That sounds really hard.
I'm still disappointed by that.
Yeah, me too, but because then literally your partner's tournament and points for the season depend on you. That's like so much pressure.
Pressure makes diamonds. That's what Paul McNamara used to say.
I mean, the one cool thing that I really like about the final round being alternate shot is that the two featured cards will have six pairings on them. So three teams per card, because there's only one person throwing each shot. So I think that's really cool that features more players.
Oh, that's true.
Yep.
So I liked that, at least.
Speaking of doubles, I don't know if this is official, but I was looking at the A-tier and Elite Series schedule, and I don't think the Pro Tour has even announced this, but it's on PDGA. It looks like they're going to be doing a mixed doubles event before the season starts. Have either of you heard about this? I could be just randomly talking, but if you go to the PDGA schedule for next year, it's showing a Pro Tour mixed doubles event in Clearwater the week before Olympus.
That's just the All-Star event.
It's the All-Star event?
It has to be the All-Star event.
Okay, I'm going to try to like find this because it grabbed my attention, as it should. But no, I found that to be very interesting.
I don't think I would go.
I think you're going to get voted in as an all-star. There's no way you don't get.
Joey's going to get voted in as an all-star.
Oh my gosh! There's no way the Crush Pepper Army could pull that off. I don't think the Crash Pepper Army is big enough to pull that off yet.
Not yet.
I'd love to be proven wrong.
The schedule.
Should we read some emails from the Crash Pepper Army?
Let's do it. And I'll search for this mixed doubles event that I claim to have seen.
Oh man, we have so many emails that I have not caught up on.
I'll just throw it out there. I got my first ever MVP win 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
How did it feel?
It actually felt really good. The monkey's off the back. I averaged 1070.
What?
Yeah, I shredded. I've been serious this offseason. I don't want to suck anymore.
Sucking is literally not fun at all in any way.
Okay, so I'm looking. I searched the 2026 event schedule. 2026, February 20th to 22nd, MPO, FPO, DGPT, mixed doubles, Clearwater, Florida, listed as a three-day event. It's an XA tier.
It's the All-Star.
That's the All-Star? Why wouldn't it be called DGPT All-Star?
Okay.
The All-Star is a three-day event?
Yeah, I mean, maybe it usually has been when it was in Arizona back in the day. Don't you remember when we did that cold plunge challenge at the pool?
That was a two-day event, though.
Yeah, but then the next year it was at...
Well, we'll see.
All right, I have a...
That being said,
I shaved my beard, by the way.
I know, I was going to say.
People are saying you look like a little germ.
I know, I saw those comments too.
I have an email.
Okay, with that... I didn't love my beard. That's why it's gone. It's so uncomfortable to have a beard. I don't understand beard people.
I shaved today.
I have not shaved. Clean. I have not shaved. I have got a big fat bunch of scruff right
now. Joey, big and fat is not what I would describe that as.
The episode name.
The big and fat.
Not big and fat.
I'd say handsome and cute.
Well, for me, it's
all right, hit us.
Quite scruffy right now, this facial hair.
We have 12 minutes.
John Zambrisky. Zambrisky. I'm going to say that. Zambrisky. What's up, Crushed Pepper people? I have seen Simon on the vlog ice skate and stick handle around Maple Hill. And Niklas can skate as well. I'd love to know who else can play hockey and for you guys to put together a make-believe hockey team from fellow pros on tour. Okay, we'll put together a make-believe hockey team. So, goalie, Emerson Keith, right? Didn't he? Wasn't he a goalie?
I want Emerson Keith.
I want Ricky. I want myself.
Alex Geisinger? Is he
no,
a hockey guy?
No, yeah, but that's not... He doesn't count. He's not on tour. Like, are you saying all time? Yeah, yeah. Then it was just like a bunch of Minnesotans. But
he was on tour at one point,
for sure. But for 1 year, 2 years,
probably just any Finnish disc golfer.
Well, I would say Niklas for sure, Emerson for sure,
Thomas Gilbert.
He's got size too. He's that
me
you. I think I would like to be on that hockey team. I would say I'm quite proficient with... I'm not as good as Emerson, but I can play hockey.
You know who used to play hockey? I mean, he's not on tour anymore, but Eric Oakley.
Sure. Yep. I feel like Kale obviously can skate. I feel like... Noah Meitzma should probably be able to skate. Adam Hammes...
Just all the Northerners.
Kyle Klein.
Kyle Klein Luke Taylor, I would be ashamed of all of those guys if they couldn't skate.
You see Maresma?
Yeah, all the Finns.
I mean,
all the Northerners.
Give me a Tuomas Huttiainen on skates and Linus Karlsson.
Knut Vollenhalland.
Yeah, dude. Give me some of those big... Give me Linus Karlsson on skates. I don't think you're getting past him.
Linus Karlsson's a good draft pick.
All of us.
I would be down.
Linus seems like a hockey player.
Do you think Mauri can skate?
I don't think Estonians are as...
I think they...
Either really good or does not ever skate at all.
I think he can skate. I don't think he's... I think he might be in a middle ground there. I think he might be, like, capable. But not insane.
Albert?
Oh, my God.
Good one.
Well, in that case, give me Gavin Babcock. Like, I mean...
There you go.
That's who I want. I want Gavin Babcock, Linus Karlsson, Albert Tom. That's my team. And Niklas and myself.
Great question.
That's a great question. Shout out, John. That was an awesome question.
Good creativity.
Oh, my God. All right, here's some good ones. Jeremy Ward, thanks for taking time to read my email. Oh, wait, did we already do this one? I don't know. I don't think we've done this one. Here we go. You guys tell me if you've heard this one before, but maybe not. There's a bunch of these kind of would you rather. So, win Worlds next year, then have a career-ending injury 5 years later, or never win Worlds and be able to play the rest of your life.
The latter, of course.
I'll take the first option.
I would take the first option.
It's just one event.
Yeah, I would win Worlds.
I'd rather have fun and experience the overall beauty of disc golf for the rest of my life and then not have a career-ending injury where the rest of your life you're going to have that terrible thought. Well, I want to play random draw doubles at my local leagues when I'm 70 years old.
Yeah, but
career ending doesn't mean you can ever play disc golf again, or is that what it means?
Yeah, but
that's how I interpreted it.
I don't even have a career to end, so if I win Worlds, then I would have a career to end. That's what I'm saying. Like, for me, it's different than for you guys. You have established
this is,
careers.
If never to be able to play disc golf again, I would not want to win Worlds.
This is a question is how important is legacy to you?
But that's not what it says. It just says career-ending injury. So it doesn't mean that you like can't play disc golf. It just means that it ends your professional career. So like maybe you could like relearn it with your left hand, or maybe you just like can't throw more than like 4 rounds or 3 rounds a week. It's just like something that ends your ability to compete full-time. That's all.
I see it as something bad happening to you, and you're going to have... you're going to not be as healthy as you could be. And I don't like that notion. I don't like the idea of something being wrong with me for the rest of my life. That's an easy answer for me.
All right, next question. Be stranded on an island alone for 2 years or be stranded on an island with someone that annoys you for 1 year? I'll take the first one.
Yeah, I'll bring my wife. Perfect.
Dude, Natalia is getting so much shade this episode. I'd like to apologize to her directly. I'm sorry. You don't deserve this.
Take the first option.
Yeah, same.
I would definitely rather be with someone that annoys me than alone. 100%.
How annoying are we talking? Are they going to annoy the whole time, or are you gonna like learn to live with each other?
Or are you going to, like, push them off a cliff?
I don't think that's a very good question. Next question.
Be stuck with a Nissan or Mitsubishi every time you rent a car, or have the car you want, but you have to wait 20 seconds every time you want to get in the car.
Wait, what?
I'll take a Nissan.
I'll take a Nissan. I drove a Mitsubishi for the first time this year, and it was terrible.
I never want to drive a Mitsubishi.
It was awful.
Be stuck with an embarrassing nickname on tour or have a mild headache every final round.
Oh, I have a mild headache right now.
What's a bad nickname?
I used to have a terrible nickname when I played in Germany.
What was it?
It was Lieselotte Simone. Which is basically just making me sound like I'm a girl because I used to have long blonde hair.
Wow. Do you think that's why you cut it? Because you got bullied so much about it?
I have an annoying nickname. The Bird.
Yeah, that is your nickname.
I don't like it? I don't like it. But
I truly
believe that you don't pick your nicknames and people are just going to call you what they want to call you. But I don't like being called Bird.
I don't think I have a nickname.
It's like if Joey was called like the baby kangaroo. Just because that's your...
He's a Joey.
Because it's like synonymous to his name.
I call you Bird. I'm sorry. I won't call you that anymore.
What's synonymous to Simon?
Just because I don't like it doesn't mean you have to stop calling me it.
My name means he has heard or hearer. So you can call me hearer from now on. The hearer is here.
The hearer is hearer.
All right, next one. Nobody ever buys one of your Signature Series discs ever again, or you never have a tournament ace ever again.
The latter.
Never a tournament ace again.
Yeah,
same. I never had a tournament ace really until this year.
All right, last one. At your beckoning call, have a personal chef or a personal massage therapist? Personal chef, 100,000%.
Wait, what? What was the lead of?
At your beckoning call, like whenever you want.
Oh, whenever you want, you have a masseuse or
a personal chef. Yes.
Oh, a chef, 100%. Oh, that would. I've thought about hiring a chef. Actually, in my real life, because it would solve so many of my problems, like eating unhealthy and eating food that doesn't taste good and having to cook.
All right, here's a good question.
Can my masseuse be a muscle activation techniques practitioner?
Yes.
I think I took the latter then. Because I can cook pretty good, and I don't mind it.
Macbeth and Barella have a collab disc. When will Eagle and Simon have one? An axolotl riding an eagle?
Stay tuned.
We call it the hearing bird.
Oh, I can tease a little bit of something. Do you know what my last name means? McMahon?
No.
So Mick means son of, and Mahon is like old Celtic, old Gaelic for bear. So I am Eagle, son of bear.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't that... So
there's
that's
definitely
that,
going to be a stamp made about that coming soon.
Wasn't that like potentially one of episode names from season one?
Or did I talk about
yes,
that?
Yes, you talked about this in like episode early, like episode 3 or 4.
Oh, man.
I don't remember it.
I do. I remember it because we almost made it episode name. I wanted to. I remember lobbying for it. Someone in the comments, go find that and prove me right, please. And then another challenge for you guys. I love these questions that we have coming in. I have a challenge for some of our emailers. I want to hear about your craziest disc golf story. Like, just one that, like, it has to be something on the course, and I don't want to hear, like, something generically cool, like a random ace. Like, it has to be It has to be like a once in a lifetime, weird, crazy, you've never seen it happen moment out on the course. And I don't know, I want to start getting some cool stories sent in to read out on the podcast and then have us react to them. So I want to source our fan base.
I have a story to send us off.
Yeah, give us a good example.
This is not...
Oh, it's not?
Golf related.
Oh, okay.
But it's slightly traumatizing.
Oh, my God.
If you will appreciate it. So, I'm in my off season. I'm training. I'm recovering. And I like to partake in the sauna. And there is a rec center that I like to go to that has a sauna and a steam room. So, I'm going there, and it's on the weekend. And that's when everybody wants to go, and the sauna is just absolutely packed. It has like 10 people in it, and people are, all the seats are taken, people are standing up. So I go to the steam room. I don't normally like the steam room. Steam room's packed, but it's a little bit less packed. I go into the steam room, nowhere to sit. I squat down right next to like the heating element or whatever. I'm in there for about a minute. A guy comes and stands next to me, and I'm squatting down. My face is...
No. No.
His waistline.
Oh, my God.
As soon as he walks in, the worst thing happens.
A toot?
No way. You are choking me. You are choking me.
The lady like runs out as fast as possible, and I'm like processing the situation, hands on face. I don't know what to do, and I just said, "You know what? I can't do this." And I run out. I left. Traumatizing. And no one, everyone's just couldn't believe it. There was just a silence. You don't know what to do in that situation.
But in America, you don't do nude saunas, right? It's like everyone has like a bathing suit on or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you didn't get sprayed.
I didn't get sprayed. It was already hot and humid in there. He just added to it.
Hmm. Oh, my God. Okay. Well, that is a good example of the kind of... story we want to hear from you guys involving disc golf. I suppose it could just be anything, honestly, if it's that funny. That is, wow. That is seriously something. You got, wow.
He was probably a foot away from me.
Did you smell it?
No, I immediately took my sauna hat and put it over my nose.
So you never smelled it? Not once.
I didn't smell it, but it's the principle of it. The fact that I was squatted down to his waist level and gas came out of his rear end next to my face. That was enough to scare me away.
There are people who would have smelled it.
I made sure that I did not smell it. I wasn't like doing deep breathing after that. That's for sure. What's our episode name, boys? Curry goat rice and peas?
Curry goat rice and peas.
I think it's got to be that. We were talking about it before the podcast even started.
Perfect. I'm happy with it.
Curry goat rice and peas. Oh, I love it.
Spot on.
All right, everybody.
Send us off.
Happy Thanksgiving to all who celebrate it. And if you don't, then have a great day with y'all's families. And until next time, keep on eating curry goat rice and peas. Peace.
You should have just like, keep on eating curry goat rice and peas.